Blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Hey, again, Sabbath blessings, and Pastor Nicholas already, we have already prayed in earlier, and we're going to go on again. Go ahead with the part two of the study, and it's called Let Your Garments Be Always White. And this part two is regarding the church leaders and their raiment or their garment. So when church leaders abide in Jesus and in the Godhead family, their fruits will be seen by the members and even those who are outside the church. By the grace of the Godhead family, more blessings will come abundantly to those who are obedient, the leaders who are obedient, and the members that are within will be also blessed with utterance from above. But what happens when they become disobedient and the Lord lives them? When we go back to the ancient story of Eli the priest and his household for Eli the priest allowing his disobedient sons in the sacred office, First Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, 34, and 35. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, 34, and 35 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." This sounds like another replacement theology. Continuing, verse 34. "And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." So brothers and sisters, when we look at verse 34, when the Lord says that one day Hophni and Phinehas, when they will both die, when we apply this to the leaders of today who are disobedient, or they were once disobedient, and they became disobedient, and one day they will die spiritually. The pastors and ministers of the day will die spiritually if they do not repent, if they know that they have iniquity, known sin. They will be dying spiritually, and the Lord will not rescue them. And the Lord will always replace the disobedient ones with the humble and contrite spirit, who are not even looking or seeking to be in the leadership position because they are afraid to make a mistake. So what happened to Eli the priest? He knew, and he should have replaced his sons because they were not serving God but their own belly. The love for supremacy, as Pastor Nick shared last night from the Spirit of Prophecy Volume 2 Friday night study on how people love the high positions of power. The condition of the ministers who are officiating in the sacred desk while major sins are cherished will be in grave danger when God visits their iniquity. Whosoever know that they are doing iniquity and ignore the warnings from God, because God will not punish you, leaders, without sending you a warning. For example, women serving as pastors, which the Lord never commissioned them to be in the sacred office. To continue with 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 11 chapter 3 verse 11 to 13 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." So whoever said that replacement theology is invalid, they can go back to this book of Samuel, the first book of chapter 3. Continuing, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." When a pastor or a minister commit a grievous sin, like for example adultery, and try to cover the iniquity which he knoweth, the Lord will replace him, like he did to Eli the priest. The same with King Saul, was replaced by David. He may think in his mind that he is still a pastor in his own eyes, but his church members will see his fruits and will start leaving him one by one. Many pastors and ministers don't give the reverence belong to our Father when they officiate on the pulpit during Sunday church. Aside from breaking the Sabbath each week, their apparel with pagan symbols while they officiate during sermons. Celtic crosses, fish, Dagon symbols showing who they reverence to. Let's go to Second Testimonies for Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, page 610, paragraph 3. It says, I was pointed back to the children of Israel anciently and was shown that God had given me specific directions in regard to the material and style of dress to be worn by those who ministered before him, the God of heaven, whose arm moves the world, who sustains us and gives us life and health, has given us evidence that he may be honored or dishonored by the apparel of those who officiate before him. He gave special directions to Moses in regard to everything connected with his service. He gave instruction even in regard to the arrangement of their houses and specified the dress which those should wear who were to minister in his service. They were to maintain order in everything, especially to preserve cleanliness. So now we're going to talk about the Ninth Hour Church, Seventh Day Adventist. It could be another sermon, but just for the sake of her garment, we will talk about it. So the SDA Church during the Ninth Hour, when the Lord blessed her, when he passed by her, the Lord gave her the clothing that she should wear. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. Now when I pass by thee and look upon thee, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelet upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. Now let's continue to verse 12, 13, and 14. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 12, 13, and 14. Says, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if we think about this, what was her statement of faith? So, by reading all this, the Lord dressed her walk. The Lord dressed her walk with the original statement of faith on how she should behave herself properly, with godliness, with primitive godliness. She should have been the woman until now. She should have been the woman until now that should be leading by example on how everyone's walk should be, and the rest of the churches should be. But what is she doing now? What happens now? Let's go to chapter 15, verses 15 and 16 of the same chapter. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 says, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 says, "But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passeth by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deck thy high places with diverse colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so." So even in the ninth hour SDA church, that one leader, Pastor Nick, mentioned last night, I think it was Becky Opie, he was wearing a pagan symbol on his apparel. So some churches now also having Xmas evergreen tree inside the brick and mortar building. So being a woman of the church, decking herself with an Xmas evergreen tree, it is not pleasing to the Lord. So what causes her to have stained her clothing and spoiled her walk? The every wind of doctrine does she embrace, which have separated her from her God. When truth and error are mixed together, the wine and the new wine, which take away the heart of the church members. And the result of that will be lukewarmness of the members. So when we go to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" They ask a question. They dishonor God each and every Sabbath, because they are now Sunday-keeping churches in the SDA. And this verse alone doesn't pertain to SDA. It pertains to those disobedient to God's holy Sabbath day. Verse 7, "And ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have ye polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible." So contemptible in Hebrew 9:5-9 means despise, disdain, contempt, think to scorn, or a vile person. So when they ask, wherein have they polluted the Lord? Because we are commanded by the Lord to only eat at his table, to only drink at his table. We are not commanded by God to eat at the table of devils, or to even drink at the cup of the devils. We are to only drink and to eat what he gave us, which is the 66 books of the King James Bible and the original writings of the Spirit of Prophecy, These are what we are to eat and drink. By using the NIV and NASB and other bogus Bibles, the preachers who step on the sacred desk with their dress garment untidy will endanger themselves and those who listen to the message they are sharing. Breaking each Sabbath each week soils the garment of the church, even more to add stain to their walks. God is no respecter of persons in judgment. What happened to Aaron's son? They were smitten by God because they offered strange fire unto the Lord. Numbers chapter 26, verse 61. Numbers chapter 26, verse 61 says, "And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord." There are many who are offering strange fire unto the Lord till this present time. But because God is so merciful, He is the same Godhead family, the same merciful God. Because of what Christ did at the Calvary, they still have time to repent and accept His invitation of repentance. Christ, our righteousness, can only help us to keep our garments clean, none by our own power, for we can do nothing to eliminate the stain in our walks. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and all we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." The wind being every wind of doctrine. So when ministers acknowledge Jesus every time the church members give Him compliments, giving merits to Christ will help them grow and be emulated by other members to do the same. But when ministers who love flattery, to flatter themselves and love greetings as they have done these things by their own might, they will lead people astray. We would like to read Steps to Christ, page 28, paragraph 3. Steps to Christ 28.3. We may have flattered ourselves, as did Nicodemus, that our life has been upright, that our moral character is correct, and think that we need not humble the heart before God, like the common sinner. But when the light from Christ shines into our souls, we shall see how impure we are. We shall discern the selfishness of motive, the enmity against God that has defiled every act of life. Then we shall know that our own righteousness is indeed as filthy rags, and that the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us from the defilement of sin and renew our hearts in His own likeness. So brothers and sisters, the closer we get to Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, the more faulty we get in our own eyes. So now, how does Satan stain one's garment? So to start with the leader, the higher the position, the more they are required. The leaders will be the main target of Satan to stain their walks. And if they yield to his temptations, such as how to gain more money by having 501c3 in their churches, or even tempting ministers using women, the church members will be easily led astray. Satan's plan is to steal kill and destroy everyone's works, to make them lose their salvation. The enemy is sending unconsecrated hearts to the church to lure believing members away. A good example is to an unbelieving, anyone that is unbelieving goes to the church and looking for someone to marry. That's another way to start to stain one's character, being led by the enemy. And to stain their walks, then eventually walk away later on. It's just another topic to share. Just share a little bit of this for the purpose of staining the garment. How they stain the garment. So let's go to Mark chapter 3 verse 27. Mark chapter 3 verse 27. It says here, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So why would Satan himself or use his cohorts to enter into a strong man's house? It's basically to spoil one's goods. So what are the goods? If he infiltrates a church, he wants to get the goods. What are the goods? The babes in Christ. The babes in Christ who have Christ-like character. He wants to destroy that. He wants to destroy those who are seeking their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants those goods to be spoiled and destroyed. So how is he going to do that? He will bind the strong man, which is the minister of the church, the minister and the preachers of the churches, to spoil their doctrines, to make them drink of the fermented wine, to introduce that in the churches. Anything from secret rapture, 7-year trib, and immortality of the soul and other things. So, to further explain this using God's word, the house in prophecy is equivalent to church, hearts, and salvation. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the church of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of full, for they consider not that they do evil. The next definition of house is the hearts, the heart of man. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So, brothers and sisters, this does not only apply to the unbelievers, but Jesus, our Lord and King, knocking into their hearts. The Lord may also still knock on the door of our hearts if we allow Him to correct us daily. We are sometimes be distracted with a lot of things in the world, even though we proclaim us being seven-day remnant or Sabbath keepers. We sometimes embrace something in our walks. We have different struggles in our walks. And the Lord will remind us of His word, as He promised in John chapter 14, verse 26. He will knock into our hearts and by His Holy Spirit, and that promise will let us know that we need to stop whatever iniquity we are cherishing, that one spot alone or that one stain alone can make us go astray. The next definition is salvation. Isaiah chapter 38 verse 20. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. So Satan is so determined now to steal our salvation, to spoil us, to destroy the goods in this church, to spoil the goods in this house. So let us all be diligent in studying His Word in earnest and cease praying without ceasing. So as Satan was determined to resist Joshua the high priest, to spoil him in the goods, which is the members of the synagogue in the church that time. We would like to talk about Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto thee, unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. So brothers and sisters, if we by faith cling to the promises of our Lord Jesus without doubting and just trust and obey him, we also can obtain the change of raiment that he gave unto Joshua the high priest. Now we will see what the spirit of prophecy says in regard to Joshua the high priest and the change of his raiment. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 468, paragraph 1 and 2. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, 468, page 1 and 2 says, "As Joshua, humbly, of the title of this is by faith in the coming Savior, that the priest Joshua granted pardon. As Joshua humbly pleads for the fulfillment of God's promise, Satan stands up boldly to resist him. He points to the transgressions of Israel as a reason why that people should not be restored to the favor of God. He claims them as his prey and demands them that they be given into his hands to be destroyed. The high priest cannot defend himself or his people from Satan's accusations. He does not claim that Israel are free from fault. In his filthy garments, symbolizing the sins of the people, which he bears as their representative, he stands before the angel, capital A, confessing their guilt, yet pointing to their repentance and humiliation, relying upon the mercy of a sin-pardoning Redeemer, and in faith claiming the promises of God." So, brothers and sisters, does any other thing come to your mind, like the 144,000? When the 144,000 are trying to be killed by the whole world, those who are unrepentant, people who would try to slay God's people, the 144,000, Satan will try to stand to boldly resist and try to accuse the 144,000 before God. But little that the devil knows is the 144,000 is already been chosen by God and has God's favor to be restored. to continue with testimony for the Church, Volume 5, 469.1. Testimony for the Church, 469, paragraph 1 says, "Then the angel, who is Christ himself, the Savior of sinners, puts to silence the accuser of his people, declaring, 'The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?' Israel had long remained in the furnace of affliction. Because of their sins, they had been well nigh consumed in the flame kindled by Satan and his agents for their destruction. But God had now set his hand to bring them forth. In their penitence and humiliation, the compassionate Savior will not leave his people to the cruel power of the heathen. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." Another one here is Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 469, paragraph 2. "As the intercession of Joshua is accepted, the command is given, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And to Joshua the angel declares, 'Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment.' So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. His own sins and those of his people were pardoned. Israel were clothed with change of raiment, and the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. The mitre placed upon Joshua's head was such as was worn by the priests, and bore the inscription, 'Holiness to the Lord,' signifying that, notwithstanding his former transgressions, he was now qualified to minister before God in his sanctuary." So when we now apply this to the present time in the future, the people who believe in Christ Jesus will have the chance to get their raiment changed and will also be able to become priests, the priests of the Most High. With the 144,000, when the 144,000 who is in prayer, in their humiliation and in humbling prayer, the Lord will hear them in that day when they agonize in prayer. And if there's anything that may have said that is not according to what the Word of God says in regard to 144,000 comparing to this, I am willingly open for correction. So to continue, if the church leaders of today do as what Joshua the high priest did, having penitent hearts and humiliation in their prayers, they will also be granted to have the change of raiment. We as the Seventh-day Remnant Church have to seek help from the Godhead family for the change of raiment, for we are so helpless and truly need Jesus. Each day, when Satan whispers to our ears and say that we cannot be cleansed, for we are filthy, think of what the Lord did and how he changed Joshua the high priest's garment and his people at that time. Let us look into what Jesus did at the Calvary and rebuke Satan, the accuser of the brethren. If Joshua believed in faith by the promise of the coming Redeemer to die for our sins in his time, and he getting pardoned, how much more faith can we now have after knowing and seeing what Christ our King Jesus did for us? The word at the work that Christ did for us at the Calvary is the strong evidence that he truly loves us. And with that, I hope and pray that we are all blessed by what our God, the Godhead family, the three separate beings, have us learn this Sabbath day. God bless. And with that, one music. In prayer. Please bow our hearts to the Godhead family. Dear Heavenly Father, and to the members of your Godhead family, Sabbath blessings to the three of you, Lord. And thank you so much, Lord, for bridling my tongue and impressing us with the knowledge and the wisdom that we could not even imagine that you would bless us because we are sinners and our garments are still filthy. And we just want to ask in humility of prayer to please help us with our unbelief. Help us with our infirmities as you only can clean us, O Lord. Please bless us with penitence of hearts, for we are undone. Please help us how to conduct prayer meetings, that we may receive your latter rain, for we are so unworthy. We sometimes ask for prayers and we are sometimes ashamed of ourselves because of the sins we have done against you. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for the prayers answered, whether it be yes or no. And thank you so much. And not just that you love us, it's because of your mercy towards us. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, and to the rest of the Godhead family, to the best of our ability, and in the name of our King Jesus, our righteousness and Savior. Amen.